Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people with a middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Paul says, a complete dwelling place of God by his Spirit. And we're living in those days right now. We are living in the days of Joel chapter 2 and Joel chapter 3. We are living in the days where there's going to be such a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit that it'll be like the first church. The very first believers, the least believer in the Messiah, could walk in the supernatural to the point that the Catholic Church would declare them a saint today. But that's normal. I want to be normal. I want you to be normal. And there's a missing ingredient. You see, we spend one-third of our life sleeping. What if in that state where we're so open to God speaking to us, he spoke to us in dreams that we really understood? He would tell us about perhaps disaster that might be coming. He would redirect our jobs or what we do for a living. He would give us solutions to problems. He'd give us direction. He'd give us divine inspiration. And my guest, Mark Verkler, says that he can even give us gifts in dreams. Perhaps we'll get into that a little later in the broadcast. But Mark, on yesterday's broadcast, we found out that your first 15 years of ministry, you thought all dreams were pizza. You were too pragmatic, too logical. And if you couldn't figure it out, you were not going to speculate. And then you came under the ministry of Reverend Herman Riffle, who lived for 93 years and studied dreams and understanding, and he gave you insight. Then your whole life changed, at least a third of your life changed, where you slept. You began receiving a dream a week and understood it. You told me before we went on the air that God gave you a prophetic word for our listeners. Tell me that.
All right. I was journaling a couple of days ago, and here's what the Lord said. He said, my children can have direct, ongoing, living encounter with me. That includes hearing me throughout the day as well as during the night. I speak through my still, small voice as well as through dreams and visions. I give myself to my children daily. I am not a God who holds back. I give myself completely to my children daily. I hunger for them to hear and see. They can hear and see. Many do hear and see, and you are teaching them how to hear and see more clearly. Raise their faith and awareness of my voice to them through their dreams. Call them into faith. Call them into belief. For all responds to faith and belief. I respond to faith and belief. If they will believe for me to speak through their dream, then they will receive. Call them into faith, and I will do the rest.
Mark, we don't have to be a prophet to recognize we are in the midst of, and it seems to be getting progressively worse, tough economic times. And if there's ever been a time that we have to take a third of our life that is normally wasted, except our body is restored, and be able to hear from God and get redirection, etc. But one of the things I like about your course, and it's a 3 CDs, 5 sessions, and a workbook called Hear God Through Your Dreams, is you are very, very foundational in Scripture. In fact, you go thoroughly a discussion of every dream in the Bible. Tell me some of the scriptural basis for us to be looking, expecting God to speak to us through dreams.
Okay, well, one verse would be Psalm 16:7. David says, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my inner man, in the Hebrew it's kidneys, my inner being instructs me in the night. So that's a really clear verse saying God gives every one of us instruction and counsel at night through our dreams. He's the wonderful counselor. The Bible is full of him giving wonderful counsel. to people. I mean, you just look at the birth of Jesus. I mean, the wonderful counsel he gave to Joseph. He counseled him to go to Egypt. He counseled him to come back to Egypt. He counseled through a dream. He told the wise men not to go back to Herod. This is all wonderful counsel from the wonderful counselor protecting you and directing you so you take the right steps to avoid calamity and are able to walk into the destiny that God has for you.
Well, you teach a bit about how we literally can have a covenant established with us through dreams.
Well, that's a powerful story. It's Genesis 15, and it's the Abrahamic covenant, and God is entering into a covenant with Abraham, which is, of course, the first covenant, which is, of course, the Old Testament. And what I didn't even notice for years is that that happened in a dream. God starts with a vision, and in the beginning of the chapter, it descends into a dream by the time you're down to verse 6 or so. And in this dream, God shows up, interacts with Abram. Abraham's pretty afraid. He gets very terrified at one point. But that doesn't mean it was a dream from Satan just because there was fear or terror there. It still was a dream from God. And God, it specifically says, God entered into a covenant with Abraham, and then he awoke. And I thought, what? I said, I thought this was pizza, and I'm finding out that God can enter into a covenant with me and with you and with our listeners and establish covenantal relationships with us in a dream. I said, man, his view of dreams is completely different than my view of dreams. I need to readjust my view of dreams.
Let me stretch you a little, and maybe I won't be stretching you, but I have had guests say to me that when they dream, many times they see themselves in another country, and they're ministering there, and most people would think it was a dream, but it was actually going on. And then years later, they go to that area. They'd never been there before. It's exactly the way it was in their dream. And people say, I saw you here, and they'd never even been there before.
Well, that doesn't stretch me, okay? I think it's exciting that...
Have you ever heard of that? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I have heard of that kind of thing happening, all right? It hasn't happened to me personally. I'm a little bit too left-brained probably to go quite that far down the road of a visionary encounter. It seems like right-brainers and prophets and prophetesses go further than left-brainers do, and that's okay. I don't have to be everything. I can be who I am, you know, and they can be who they are, and we can team up and complement one another. Prophets and teachers can get together and...
But that's what makes you such a great teacher. Anything you can do, anyone else can do because you can teach it.
Well, that's our goal, is to lay it out clear enough so that people can do it.
Okay. I have to tell you, I have personally interviewed many people that have... given me charts of symbols, and I have followed it, and I've understood to a degree, but I can honestly say it's still multiple guess in many instances. What's wrong with me?
Well, I'm not sure anything's wrong with you, okay? You know, I don't go to a dream dictionary book to find out what these symbols mean. I go to my own heart because my heart was the one drawing the pictures, trying to communicate a message to me, and I do believe the symbols are going to be different based on a person's experience. I mean, if you look, because I believe the symbols in your dreams are going to come out of your experiences. You look at Joseph. He's a shepherd boy. He lives in the open field. The symbols in his dream are the symbols that surround him. It's the sheaves bowing down. It's the sun, moon, and stars bowing down. These are the symbols that surround a shepherd boy. His heart took those symbols, wove them into a story for him, and gave him a message. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar dreams, he's a king who lives in a palace, so he dreams of a statue of gold and iron and bronze, a little stone hitting it. Well, what surrounds kings who live in palaces? Statues of gold made out of themselves, normally. So you see, the symbols were different based on the life of the person, because the symbols come from the person's heart. They do not come from a dream dictionary book, in my estimation. So the person wants to ask their heart, hey, what does that symbol mean to me? I mean, I grew up in a dairy farm. We had big red barn. That meant a lot to me. I planned on being a farmer. If that big red barn shows up in my dream, it means something unique to me.
Why is it? I'm going to ask a question for myself right now. I have had several dreams in my lifetime that were absolutely literal. I did what God said, and it came to pass. And so as the pragmatist that I am, I said, God, just give me literal dreams. But I feel like I'm wasting so much valuable information because of the symbolic dreams that I haven't understood.
Okay, well, you are right. God can and does give literal dreams. We have that in the Bible. And he also gives symbolic dreams. The sun, moon, and stars bowing down, that's all symbolism. Sheep, that's all symbolism. And you're right. If you miss that part, then you're missing an awful lot of counsel that you could be receiving. So why doesn't God just give us all literal dreams?
That's what I want.
The Bible says that these are called dark sayings. And what it is, it's your heart trying to communicate things to you that your mind wasn't quite ready to accept in a really verbal approach. And so your heart says, let me do some symbolism here, and then you can pull out of it what you're ready to accept. And what you're not ready to accept, we'll just leave in the back burner. And someday down the road, you'll be ready to accept that. So it, rather than forcing the message upon you, it offers the message to you. So if your heart is ready, it'll reach out and get it. And if it's not, it'll just be in the back burner until you are ready for it.
Now, one of the things that you urge people to do is to put a little pencil and paper next to their bed, on the table next to their bed. Why do you do that? Why can't they just, during their normal prayer time, when they get up, recall what they dreamt?
Well, because they're probably not going to recall stuff. The simple act of putting that pencil and paper next to your bed, you are communicating a message to your heart saying, I take you seriously, I'm taking dreams seriously, and I'm letting you know that if you give me a dream, I will write it down when you give it to me. And your heart says, okay, he's taking me seriously. He doesn't believe it's a pizza dream anymore, and because he's taking me seriously, I'm going to wake him up and remind him of the dreams. Because if your heart does not wake you up...
Well, I can tell you this. I find that I forget my dreams if I don't write them down.
That's right. And if your heart...
Whoops, our time is up.
Okay.
Well, we'll pick up here on tomorrow's broadcast, Mark, but I really want to get these three CDs. It's really a set, 5 sessions of teaching and a workbook called Hear God Through Your Dreams, available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural!, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.